Dying Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Skytook, Oklahoma, and the home of Pastors Chip and Candace Brim, who are co-pastors of a glorious church fellowship on North 19th Street in Collinsville, Oklahoma. Sitting around the table here, I have my son Chip. Say hi.
Hi.
Shelley.
Hello.
Daughter Brenda.
Hello.
And Jared is our engineer. So he's here with his wife, Rivka. So we got a family affair. We're sitting around actually a dining room table where we often in our family have meals and talk about things. And so it's just conducive to this radio program. Chip and I have been talking through this week, and you can get it on archives and catch up with where we are right now. But as we talked about it, Chip talked to me. He called me. He said, Mom, I'm confronted with an epidemic of fear in the people of God, the children of God. Of course, the world's kind of afraid of what's going on. Everybody's kind of afraid, but there should be no fear in the body of Christ. Now, I opened an old notebook, and I found this statement. I do not know where I got it. I don't know whether to give credit to Brother Copeland or whoever, or just the Holy Ghost gave it to me. I can't remember. But listen to this. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Fear connects with death and draws from it. Faith connects with life and draws from it. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated.
That don't tolerate any, not even a little.
No. If you need to operate in faith, you better not have fear contaminating it. Now, Shelley's son, Cody, was in a life and death situation.
Mm-hmm. 8 years ago.
So tell that story, Shelley.
Well, now he's a successful pilot, flies the fastest civilian aircraft for a very wealthy man. But in the beginning of his education, he said, Mom, I want to visit you.
And he 8 years ago.
8 years ago, and he was a little poor student. And he said, I'm going to rent this little aircraft. And he'd been saving his money. And so I'm waiting for him. Near Branson, and he was grossly late.
He was coming up from Fort Worth?
Yes. Uh-huh. And what I did not know was that he had an emergency in the air where this little aircraft he had rented, they did not do the maintenance like they should, and everything went dead right in the middle of his flight.
All the instruments went out. Dark.
It was night, just nothing. He said, no engine sound, things that you're used to when you're flying. All I could hear was just the whistling of the wind.
He's alone, right?
And he's alone.
And he's just a beginner.
Yeah. And so he said immediately fear came into the cockpit. He said it was powerful. He said it was like a person, but it was what the Bible says, it's a spirit. It is a spirit. And it came into this cockpit. It filled. He said it was like pressure on his legs, and it was trying to paralyze his legs, keep them from moving. And he said, of course, you know, when you're a pilot, it's what you operate those pedals on with your feet that makes you do a good landing. And here I can't move them. And so he said, immediately I rose up and I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And he said, he told me yesterday when I talked to him about it, he said, Mom, attached to it was with fear was death. And it left.
So it was a knowledge.
Long, but it
this
left.
Fear said to him, you're dying.
Right. And his dad had just gone on too, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that thing left. Didn't take long. Gone. He resisted it. You shall resist the devil and he will flee from you.
James 4:7.
Didn't take long. I think that surprised him. And he said, now that thing's gone. I just said a simple prayer. Jesus, help me. And I said it from my heart. And immediately I heard his voice. It was as if he came in that cockpit and he just said, Cody, this is what you need to do. and just very gently began to tell him what to do.
So he started reminding him.
Yes.
Yeah, he brought to his remembrance.
Well, he says all things.
All things. I will bring all things.
Yes. He said, Mommy's the best pilot.
That's what Jesus
said. I never thought of Jesus as a pilot, but you know, he is. And he understands aviation and the laws of aerodynamics, and he just began to do
And it was in Cody. He had studied.
Right. But all of that to say, when he made the emergency landing, of course, the airport was not expecting him. It was just a little grass airport, and a little farmer came out, and he said, My goodness, son, where did you come from? And he said, Well, I
He didn't have a radio to radio no. them to turn mm-hmm. the lights on.
No. So immediately they started calling the Federal Aviation Department. They sent out a SWAT team to interview him, and later what Cody told them, because they wanted to know the procedures, and he said they're going to use it in their training to help other pilots, as you know, for emergencies. So in all
have
of
to
that,
get them, you know, born again and spirit filled,
right? And how to resist fear. What you have to do first is get rid of fear,
and fear is a spirit.
Didn't he use a flashlight? Wasn't he holding a flashlight out of his hand for the runway?
Right.
Yes.
Oh my Father, thank you, Lord,
and held out his.
You can do all things.
Yes. Through Christ.
Yeah, the anointed one and his anointing.
Yes, and but the first thing is, and going back to the scripture that says, God has not given me the spirit of fear. The first thing Cody did, number one,
he had
to get rid of fear.
The Holy Spirit probably brought that to his remembrance too, mm-hmm. don't you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next thing that comes up is a spirit of power, ability,
dunamis,
an anointing.
Uh-huh.
Then that started kicking in, Jesus help me.
Uh-huh.
And then love. What's one thing that love does? It believes all things. It hopes all things. It bears all things. It had to bear the fact that he's making an emergency landing, but love will do that. And then the last thing is a sound mind. He had a sound mind. You know, I think if he had reversed that order, here it is, an emergency, and instead of dealing with fear, he said, God, give me a sound mm-hmm. mind. Give me a sound mm-hmm. mind. I need the mind. I don't think it had been as fruitful. But first things first. I think there's really a key there.
There's mm-hmm. a key. Well, think about this, Shelley, in that little catalog of sin, fear, and then unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to this again, what I wrote down in my notebook. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. If Cody had tolerated the fear and given it into it,
mm-hmm.
his faith would be grossly contaminated.
Right.
And he could even hear.
Mm-mm.
Right, his capacity to hear would have been impaired. So, yes.
So let's bring this down to maybe someone who's listening today. If you are so fearful over something, God is trying to get the answer to you. He is trying to get the word to you that you need. Maybe your word supply is not very, very big, but you can start right now and you can put some in there. There's wonderful scriptures on faith. But you're at home and you're so fearful. What does James 4:7 say? Well, let's take it back to Timothy. God has not given you the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What does James 4:7 say? Resist the devil and he will
flee
from you. What does 1 John 4:4 say?
Greater.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you start resisting that fear. You talk to it. Brother Hagin, I've heard him say, I talk to it. I say, doubt? That's you, doubt. You're coming at me? I recognize you. This is Kenneth E. Hagin, prophet of God. Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. That was a doubt thought. Fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. You don't stop having the devil try to come against you with fear just because you're a great preacher. In fact, he's probably going to come at you more with fear mm-hmm. because you are affecting other people right now.
Right.
Good thing to say is I don't receive you because the Lord says, I have not given you the spirit of fear. I did not give that to you.
Right.
Anything given has to be received.
Right.
But I will tell you what I did give you. Let me just tell you what I did give you.
Right.
The spirit of power.
Yes.
The power to remember. The Holy Spirit. The dunamis power.
Yes.
Love and a sound mind. That's what I gave you. So a good thing to say is, fear, I don't receive you. I will not receive you. Not in this house. Not in me. Not in my kids. I do not receive you. I reject you. But I do receive you, Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
I receive you. And you remind me of that word that's in me. And let's we're going to do all things. We're going to do greater things than we've ever done before.
That's absolutely right.
That's how it works. That's how you do it.
Do you ever, you know, here's a thought on this. Jesus said concerning lack, he said to the people he was preaching, he said, take no thought saying.
Right.
What shall I eat? What shall I wear? So when fear comes, it's going to come. Like I told Chip that day, it's going to come back tomorrow.
Right.
But it's just a thought. You don't have to take that thought.
You know what he told me about that verse? Take no thought saying. I heard this in my spirit one time I was preaching. He said, never, ever leave a thought unanswered.
So the thought comes whizzing through like an arrow.
Speak. Don't leave it unanswered because it'll stay there. It'll stay there. Don't leave it unanswered. Speak the word. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't ever leave a thought unanswered. Speak the word
only. If he sends a thought to you, shooting a thought through your head, Chip, you're not going to be able to pay your house payment. Zoom. Then what do you do?
God's given me the power to receive wealth. God, I supply. I am a tither. Glory to God. I pay my tithes. He's not going to leave me hanging. You know, just start speaking the word of God. What's in you? Just go after
it. I rebuke you, fear.
If it's sickness, you know, by his stripes I was healed. Glory to God, I am healed. I'm not just trying to get my healing. I'm not sick trying to get my healing. I'm the healed who is resisting sickness. That's who I am. Let me tell you who I am. That's why you need to know who you are.
Brenda, are you about to pop over there? Something you wanted to say? You haven't chimed in much.
Well, I was just thought of that scripture. Take every thought into the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Make every thought captive.
Yes, captive.
Unto the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which would be what? The word.
Yes.
You take that thought.
Principalities and power.
That he's trying to shoot through you. You take no thought. You don't let that thought make a nest in your hair.
Right.
Brother Hagin said, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. So worry. We'll get to worry. We're going to get to worry later on because worry is just a form of fear. And if you fret and worry about things, we'll talk about that. But you take no thought saying. You do take thought saying something the opposite. Rather than the fear, you speak the faith. Rather than the fear, you speak the faith. Now, that is in the scripture. Oh, this is great, Brenda. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Chip, that would be what he told you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't leave it unanswered. You bring it into captivity.
Right.
And oh, hallelujah.
Read that scripture, the other one before.
Yeah.
Right here.
The other one before it is which verse?
Nine.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. We trust you have enjoyed this program and these weeks on fear. We recognize that it's almost like one of our presidents said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. To help you, we have two books we want you to have. The Authority of the Believer by John A. MacMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. MacMillan said in the foreword to his books that this age that we're in right now is knowing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. To meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer, and that is the prayer of the authority of the believer. The bloodline, how to draw them. We're offering two books, The Authority of the Believer by John MacMillan and The Blood and the Glory by Billy Brim. I want you to have these books, so much so that we're offering them to you as a radio package for $10 plus shipping. Just write us at Box 40, Branson, Missouri, or go online to billybrim.org or order 1-800-972-3447.